Today is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's, everybody. And Valentine's Day is where you confirm and affirm your love to the one you love, the love of your life. And speaking of the love of your life, I have a love of my life that I want to give something for Valentine's Day. My wife likes orchids. Wow. These are for you. There you go. I just want to make sure you could read that. And there's that for you here. Let me give you a kiss. There's more where that came from. So now the lady told me at the store,
yes,
only put one ice cube every 10 days on one on each side there. Okay. You only give it one ice cube every 10 days. If you give it too much, then it goes down. Oh, by the way, you know, I dressed up as your Valentine. I even got my Valentine socks on. Just want you to know. It goes deeper, but I can't share. Can't share that. If God had only one word to communicate to you, think about it. What would it be? Would it be angry? Some feel that. Would it be mad? Disappointed? Upset? Sad? Waiting? Miserable? Guilty? Trash? Wait till dad comes home? No, I guess that's more than one word. What would that feel like? You know, sometimes we feel like what God must be feeling about us at times, right? Especially when we go through some dark moments or some tough times, or we go through some areas where we've fallen on our face a few times and try to get ourselves back up and wonder exactly what God is feeling. I can tell you what he's feeling. I can tell you what he's thinking. If God could only communicate one word to us, only one word to us, try to summarize everything in just simply one word, that word would be love. That word would be love, because God is love. That's the essence of who he is. And because that's the essence and the makeup, the DNA of who God is, that's what he always communicates. He communicates this essence of love that you can't shake. Even when you mess up, he still loves you. Oh yeah, he's willing to tell you what you did wrong, and he wants to tell you, and he wants to change you, and he'll give you some good discipline and all that stuff, like a good father. But the overarching thing that he says, I love you, dude. Maybe he doesn't do dude. He probably doesn't King James, dudeth. Love you, dudeth. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. It's like the Geico commercial. When you're the God of the universe, you love. That's what you do. I mean, it's what you do. It's what he does. It's what God does. He simply loves. It's the main concept of the Bible. Love, God's favorite word. We put down on our sign God's favorite four-letter word. Then I had a bunch of people saying, should we say the four-letter? Anyway, it is a four-letter word. It's used 546 times in the Bible. So it's not really the most used word in the Bible, but I believe it's the main concept of the Bible, his love. God loves. God creates man. God loves man. God puts him in a very lovely, wonderful, lovely place. Man messes up. Man loses garden. Man loses lovely place. God figures another way to restore man so he can demonstrate his eternal love. Wow. I can imagine God was going, dude, you are making this hard for me, but I will win. I will win. I will win. I know you've fallen flat. I know you've fallen flat. I know you've fallen flat. I knew you did a bunch of stuff, but I will win. I am going to continue to love you and keep moving into your life and expressing my love and my heart for you. I am going to win you over. That's the amazingness of God. He's not up there with a hand and he's shaking it at us and his fist and he's in disgust with us. But is a God saying, hey, I love you, man. I love you, Judith. I love you. The Bible is a love story between a perfect, eternal, and loving God and his imperfect and very fickle creation, mankind. But God doesn't let that stop him. He keeps loving and loving and loving and loving and loving and loving, even when we don't feel like it at times. He doesn't stop loving us because love makes the difference. That's what he did with my life. I got won over to Christ because of his amazing love. It says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't just tell us he loves us. He doesn't say it. He doesn't just let words that are cheap. He uses actions that are expensive and priceless. He used the action of the cross, of Jesus Christ going there and dying for us, as the action, as the proof in the pudding, the proof behind the words. The proof behind the words, him dying on the cross. You see, actions either confirm or cancel your words. And in God's case, those actions confirmed his words. They backed him up and let us know how much he absolutely loves us, about how much he absolutely forgives us. He demonstrated it. He put it into action, not just words. So when I think about love, I think about love in the Bible, I think about the disciple John, because he's one of the ones that talks a lot about love. I think about John, this disciple that with his mother wanted James and John to be seated at the left and right hand of Jesus when he comes to his kingdom. They were very outspoken. John was outspoken. He was really ready to say, hey, I want to be there with you, dude. I want to be there. Can I? And the other disciples a little miffed at that. But the idea was, hey, I just want to be there. I care about you. I love you, man. I want to be right next to you whenever the next chapter is. Whatever the next chapter is, I want to be there right next to you. James and John, they were zealous for the Lord. They wanted to call fire down from heaven and burn up some Samaritans because the city of Samaria was not accepting what Christ was doing. And they were really bummed by it. And then Jesus coins the term, the sons of thunder. Why? Because they were passionate. Not only was he outspoken, but he was passionate for God. And then he does this. I think he writes his gospel, and then he says this about himself. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Like, guess who that was, everybody? The disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't say that about any of the other disciples, but he declares it of himself. I am the disciple that Jesus loves. I'm sure Peter was going, dude, what about me? I don't know, pick another word. The one he rolls his eyes about probably would be you, Peter. No. I'm sure he loved them all. But John was willing to declare it. John was the one at the Last Supper who puts his head on Jesus' breast, right next to his heart. And he says, he got to be in the prime spot. He took it. The one whom Jesus loved. The one who Jesus loved. And I just like his just bold statement. You know, not many people say, I'm the one Jesus loves. And a lot of us kind of probably say, I'd be satisfied if I'm just the one Jesus likes. Bunch of other people would probably say, hey, I'm okay if Jesus just acknowledges me. Another bunch of folks would probably say, hey, I'm okay if Jesus just tolerates me in life. You know, I know I'm kind of far away. No. John knew how close he was. And I think sometimes we fail to realize how close we can be and settle for something else at a distance away. Which one best describes your relationship with Christ? Is he loving you? Is he liking you? Is he acknowledging you? Is he simply tolerating you? I can tell you this, he loves you and he wants you to feel that love. He wants you to feel it. So as we look at this disciple whom Jesus loved, I want to look at three scriptures, one from the gospel, one from his epistle, and one from the book of Revelation, talking about this one who loved Jesus. But what we're going to look at is, what does he say about returning the love? It's one thing to be loved by, and we could preach it, and it's been preached many, many, many times. We'll say it all the time, how much Jesus loves us, how much he loves us, how he wants to love us to the very core of our being, no matter what we've done and what's happened and all the trash and all the garbage. He continues to love. But I want to talk from John's perspective of one who loved and was loved by Jesus. How did he return? How did he return the love? Does God feel the love from you? Is he feeling the love? Or is it just in word only? And I think about that. It's right here. So I think about that. I think about this. When I think about God's love, he always throws out his love toward us, right? So his love is being thrown out. Now, if you think about it, hopefully I'll make up. Oh, look at that. Stop. And I had a little dog right here, and I'm playing fetch with him. Does anybody here have a dog? Have you ever played fetch with your dog? Yeah. You know where this is going. You go, hey, Malibu. Fetch. Fetch, Malibu. And Malibu. And it's like, no, fetch. I threw the ball. Go get the ball. Go get the ball. Go get the ball and bring it back to me. Go, hey, fetch. Go get it. And then your dog simply doesn't seem to want to go get the ball. Or then have you noticed how he goes and gets the ball? He gets the ball. And then you say, come, come. And he sees you and he runs the other way with the ball. And then he's thinking of playing keep away. Just run with the ball. Go someplace else. I mean, you go, no, come here. Come here, Doc. Come here. Come here, Malibu. And we want him to bring the ball back. And he just plays with you. He doesn't want to give it to you. And he moves away and you're going, drop the doggone ball. You're out there with your dog, you know, man's best friend. And you're just, you and the dog, and you're just, and he don't want to play. He doesn't want to return it. And then when you get there, he's got it in his mouth, and you're trying to grab it out of his mouth. And you can't get the ball out of his mouth. Give me the ball! And then you're dragging the dog. Have you ever picked the dog up, and he's still got the thing, and he's hanging, dangling like that? He's still hanging onto the ball. Let go of the ball! You're out there for this nice, enjoyable, nice time with your dog, whom you love, whom you've trained, throw the ball and nothing good happens. Doesn't return it back. I wonder if God sometimes, in the love that he throws out to us, wonders what's coming back. Here's God enjoying a walk with us. Hey, hey, here's my love. Here's some things I want you to do. Fetch! Go do it! And we sit there and don't do nothing. Or we run a different direction. Or we get it and take it off and do what we want, or we don't want to give it back. God's asking, hey, where's the love? Where's the reciprocation of this whole thing? Sometimes we don't play the game the way God would like us to. And let me tell you this. When you're doing all that, wishing this would all happen, are you frustrated about what's going on? Do you get a little mad at your dog? You're just going, doggone it, dog. Other dogs know to bring it back and drop it. Why can't you do what other dogs do? Oh, I do dog do, but no, no. I know the frustration. I wonder if sometimes, again, God loves us. I just want you to try to figure out some things from his perspective. When he's asking you to play the game, return, fetch, bring back the love, are we? Are we too busy? We got another agenda. We got another idea. We're just, hey, you know, we're busy people. I'm saying that God wants us to return the love. How do we do that? How do we do that? From this disciple who was so confident in love, being loved, and knew how to give the love back to the Lord because he was one of his three closest in his inner circle, Peter, James, and John were. Look what he says in John 14, 22. Judas, not Iscariot, one of the other of the disciples, of the 12 disciples. This isn't the one who betrayed him, but another one. Some people in this, in the commentators say that this Judas here, that was not Judas Iscariot, again, another Judas, a common name, was probably Thaddeus is who he could have been here that you're referring to. Some commentators say that this also could possibly be the Lord's brother. He could actually really be one of his disciples, possibly could have been. Again, I don't know or not. But some commentators say that it possibly could be his brother. And he says this, Lord, or maybe if he's his brother, he would have said, bro, how is it that you have manifested yourself to us and not to the world? And he's asking a question. Why are you manifesting, revealing, telling us your secret? Why is all this happening, but you're not doing that to everybody else out here? And he begins to give them something. And that word manifest, it means to exhibit, to disclose. It's translated appear, declare, inform, manifest, show, signify. Jesus doesn't reveal himself to everyone. And not everyone the same way. And I'll explain more about that later. Jesus says, no, I will disclose myself. I will reveal myself. I will tell my secrets. But there's some conditions on what I do. I just don't throw it out to everyone. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He starts to put down the condition here. If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And here's my first observation. God, to feel the love, we must keep his words. You want God to feel the love? You want God to know that you're returning it back? He's throwing out love. He's throwing out so much stuff, and that we're returning it back, and we're going, hey, love you. And we take off. Hey, if I had time, but you know I love you. And just keep taking off. He's saying, if you want to show me, if you really love me, if you not just tell me, if you really love me, he says, he will keep my words. You see, love is in the keeping. Love is in the keeping. There's this correlation between love and obedience. Love is the root and obedience is the fruit. Yeah, I love you. But what the working of that is, I want to obey you. I want to keep your words. I want to do what you want me to do. And it goes on to say this, and my Father will love him. And I think, remember, God already loves us. But there's something that's happening in this relationship as we keep his word, demonstrating our love, there's something that intensifies, I think, in our own well-being as we experience the love from the Father. The Father will love him. And we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, will come and make our home with him. Love intensifies. And then he gives you a sense of security. As we're keeping his words, we feel an intenseness of his love even more and more. As we're keeping his word, we feel and sense more of his love. And then he talks about this home feeling. We feel more and more a sense of security. I belong. I'm part of the family. I'm in. God will make his home with us. Mi casa es tu casa. My home is your home. I feel at home. Most of us, if you've been on a trip and doing everything, you're really glad to get home. You go, I can kick my shoes off. I just feel at home. I feel comfortable. I feel at peace. I enjoy this place. And that's what Jesus is saying. He wants you to enjoy this place of relationship, this place of intimacy, this place where because you're demonstrating your love in the actions that you're doing, he's saying, wow. We begin to feel more and more security in knowing the God in whom we're serving. There's something that happens. It's not just, well, serving God, I don't know who he is, but I'm serving him. It becomes, I'm doing things for the Lord. I'm serving him. And wow, I'm just, he's revealing more of himself to me. I feel more at home. I feel more at peace. I feel more of the part of the family of God, home sweet home. Judas asks about Jesus manifesting himself to them, but not to the world. And Jesus responds with, I will manifest myself, take up residency and abide with the person who is serious about my word and keeping it. Jesus will manifest himself, exhibit, disclose himself, demonstrate himself to those who demonstrate themselves to him. Now, again, he loves you unquestionably. He'll always love you. But if you want him to reveal more of himself to you, if you want him to begin to tell you more of his secrets, more of what he's doing, begin to experience more of a walk and a relationship with the awesome, 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 mighty God, then he's saying, listen, you demonstrate your love by keeping my word, I will speak more words to you. I'm just seeing if you will take part of what I've first given you, and if you do, I will run after you with so much more. Why is it important for us to keep reading the Word of God? Because he has more secrets and more manifestations of himself that he wants to disclose to us. We'll begin to know him more and more and better. The more we read and keep the Word, the more Jesus manifests and exhibits and discloses and reveals himself to us. The more revelation we get when you're reading the Bible. The closer you are to him. When you're reading the scripture, you went right over it the first time in your first year of relationship with him. But as you're keeping the word and walking and going after him and loving him and changing your life and demonstrating with the actions of your life, your love for him, all of a sudden the words now take on more meaning and take on more meaning. And you get more and more disclosed. And all of a sudden, more and more is revealed here. And you begin to understand more and more and more. More and more that you understand, the more that you obey, the more you understand, the more you obey, and all of a sudden you start growing. I don't care if you're 100 years old and been walking with the Lord for 99 of them. There is more in here. He wants us to read. He wants us to do. Put the Bible in the mix in 21:6. Why? Because by getting into this demonstrates our love for him. As we learn more, we can then obey more. But if you're out there going, I don't want to know anymore. I just know a few things. That's all I want to know because I don't have to change my life anymore. I want to just obey these few things that I know. Don't tell me anymore. I don't want to know. Are you missing the point? Is that a love relationship? Or is that a, hey, I just want to get into heaven someday? That's it, really, dude? All I want is the key to the door that gets you in up there, and I just want to get in. I don't really care about anything else. That'd be like saying, hey, hon, I want to marry you. I want to enjoy all the relationships with you, but hey, I want to go do my own thing. I want to live my own life. I want to do my own stuff. Hey, I love you, but I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care about you. I don't want you to change my life. I don't want us living together have to change. I don't have to turn which way we point the toilet paper. I don't have to refigure which way we squeeze the tube. Bridget. God wants to change our relationship. And he wants us to read more and more. I'll tell you what, the more you do, the more you do, the more you fall in love, the more you want to. My observation here, those who press in more get more. That's like obvious, isn't it? Those who press in more get more. Look what he says then after this. He responds to the hunger. He says, he who does not, then he does the converse here. Okay, well, I'm not really into all of that. So, hey, dude, thank you. But I don't want to read that much. I don't want to do that much. Then he says this though. He who does not love me does not keep my words. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Will he love you? Yeah. But he's trying to tell you, hey, listen, you're not demonstrating any love back to him if we're not keeping his words. If we're not willing to read the words, get into the word, love the word, and let the word come out of us. What demonstrates our lack of love for God, not keeping his word. When we realize, and I hate to say it this way, When we say, hey, I don't want to read it, and I really am not too interested in doing it, you have to understand what you're saying to him. He's saying it right here. I don't know how to say it any plainer. I don't really love you. I'm just doing this for a show. I'm just doing this for the key to the main room. It's all I want. Those are powerful. He who does not love me does not keep my words. If you want to show God how little you love him, don't read your Bible and don't do what it says. But then don't expect for him to manifest, to disclose, to reveal, to show you. Oh, I don't want God to think I don't love him. Great, then read his word. Do what it says. Yeah, but I get busy. I don't have the time to read. And I don't have the willpower to do what it says. Okay. But the message that you're sending is, I don't love you. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. Okay, if that's not what you're trying to say, then you got to do something different. Well, no, I don't have the time. Hey, everybody's got the same amount of time. How long does it take to brush your teeth, pull out our app on the phone, and push play? You can go through the Bible reading while you're brushing your teeth. By the way, everybody here should have our app. Do you all have the app? Living Faith Fellowship, Pullman. Download it right now. There's an app on there. It'll go through our reading schedule. We're going through the New Testament right now. We need to read it. Let's all do it together. Let's get up here. Take a big picture of all of us reading the Word. The app, we made it really simple for you. You just push on it. Hey, what's today? Push on it. It tells you what today's is. If you're going, oh, I can't read. I'm driving to work. Okay, push read for you. And a guy with a great voice is going to go, and the Lord thus say. He's going to brighten up your day. Get it in. So simple. You're going to have a hard time going, oh, Lord, I was really busy. Dude, you had plenty of time to with your little phone device and put it in your ears to download so many songs. Why couldn't you just play one of mine? One of me just talking to you. I want to get us through the Word this year, folks. I don't know. God's really put on my heart that we've got to go back to the Word. We've got to read it. We've got to live it. And in doing that, we demonstrate our love for him. And to think of anything different, no, but you don't understand. Let me tell you what. God don't understand then. He goes, oh my gosh, I know I made 24 hours in a day. I should have made it 36. I don't know what I was thinking. Should have put 36 in a day. And because I didn't, hey, here's the key to the room. Come on in. I am so sorry. I apologize to you. I didn't give you enough time. I think that's what God's going to say. I'm not trying to be hard. I want to encourage us to read. I love him. I just don't have time for him. Oh, okay. Those that do not read the Bible and do not do what it says are showing that they do not love God, because not doing the word is correlated with not loving God. It's just what it is. Remember, actions speak louder than words. And let me say this. Actions, what you do, either confirm or cancel your words. Actions, reading, either confirm or cancel your words. I love you. Okay, confirm that. I'm reading your word. Cancel it. I don't have time. 1 John 2. Well, let me back up for just a moment. Have you ever loved somebody during the time of your life and not have them love you back? Isn't that a big bummer? Makes you feel bad. I wonder how God feels sometimes when we're not returning to love. Well, I love God the way I like to love him. Okay, great. Awesome. If your wife hates licorice ice cream, and all you do is just want to keep giving her for every Christmas, every New Year, every Easter, every birthday, every Valentine's. Here's another gallon of licorice ice cream. Because I love it. Here's his epistle. Here's John in his epistle. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. Now by this, we know that we know him. I love this. We know that we know him. How do we know that we know him? If we keep his commandments. You got to read them. If you got to be into them, then you got to do them. He gave us a simple test. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commandments. We know that we know him. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a, say it with me,
liar.
A what?
Liar.
I know him. Are you reading? Oh, are you doing what it says? I know there've been some issues where it's, I know it's tough. I mean, you've been through some things, and God's telling you to go this way, and I know it's really tough, and God understands that, and we want to gather around you and pray for you and help you and encourage you, and maybe you'll fall down and get back up, and maybe we can make progress and move you in a different direction. And then, yeah, but I don't want to try because I just don't think I can, I just. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Remember, words are cheap. The proof is in the doing, the keeping of the commandments. If we say, yeah, I know him. I know Jesus. But don't keep his commandments, we're lying to ourselves. We really don't know him. We know of him. I know of him, but you don't know him. You don't know him. What does it mean to know him? The Dictionary of New Testament Theology in Zondervan points out that the Greek word used here is gnosko. It basically means this, gnosko. I know, we know that we know him. It's grasping the full reality and nature of an object under consideration. Grasping the full reality and nature of an object under consideration. It is thus distinguished from a mere opinion, which may grasp the object half correctly, inadequately, or even falsely. He's trying to put a delineation between here's who I am and here's what you think I am. Here's what I am, here's what you think or want me to be. And this tells us who he is. This, and all of our thinking, tells us who we want him to be. But if you're walking in who you want God to be, you're going to walk half correctly, inadequately, or even falsely. I see it so many times. People come to the Lord and, hey, I'm excited about the Lord and blah, blah, blah. And then, well, you know, I think that God is blah, blah, blah. And I go, where do you get that? I just think that it makes sense to me. Well, did you read that somewhere? No. That's what I want it to be. Well, gee, I want there to be no mortgage you have to pay every month on the church building. That would be awesome. That's what I want it to be. And if I start living that, we won't be here anymore. So many really don't know Jesus because they are not really reading his word and doing it. Therefore, they have lots of half-correct or inadequate or false understandings of Jesus, of who he is and what he wants us to do. Please hear me. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to help us understand that we have to do this. We have to read this. We have to long for this. We have to change our life to match this. And the more that we do, the more that we know, the more that he manifests, the more that we fall in love, the more that we understand, the more we're excited for him, the more heaven becomes an absolute amazing thing. A lot of people say, I know him and do not keep his word. They know him inadequately or falsely. And let me ask you this. What circle of relationship is Jesus in your life? How do you know him? Because remember, a lot of people say, I know him, and let me give you a couple. I know him. That's what we say. What we mean? I've heard of him. I know him. I can pick him out of a crowd. I've seen his picture. I know him. I've been introduced to him. He's an acquaintance of mine. I know him. And everyone here says, I know him. Every one of these says, I know him. I know him. I work with him. He works down the hall. I know where his door is at. He's a co-worker down there. I know him. I know him. I hang out with him. I spend extra time with him. We go to the gym together. We vacation together. We've done some fun stuff after work and after. You know, we're getting to know each other pretty well. We hang out. I know him. I know him. I know what makes him tick. I know what he likes. I know what he doesn't like. Number 7, I know him. I'm married to him. I love him. I know him like no one else. And my question here is Jesus really in your inner circle? Do you really know him? Do we really know him? Do we long to know him more? Do we long to love him more and reciprocate and return that love back to him more? Do we know him? Because we want to get him closer and examine him more and look at every facet of who he is and understand every intricate detail of this awesome God that we serve, that we're looking at him and looking at him and looking at him, wanting to make sure we correctly divide this thing. We need to be in his word. Finally, let me conclude. Let me read this last part. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected. It's made complete. It's accomplished inside of him. And the last thing he said in Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Let me just skip down to verse 11. He says, and they overcame him. This is the end of time. They overcame him, the devil. How'd they do that? By the blood of the Lamb, by what Jesus did on the cross. And by the word of their testimony, knowing the word of God and proclaiming it and using it and standing on it in every situation. That's how we overcome the attacks of the devil. That's what he says is how we do it. How to overcome the devil? Know Jesus, what he did for you. Know the word of God. And know who you will live for. And who you will die for, as he says, and they did not love their lives unto the death. I think getting to know God so much and falling so much in love with him, you're going, you know what? I'll gladly die for you, Lord, because you're the most important thing in my life. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're an amazing God, that you love us so much. God, I pray that the word today, not condemning, but inspiring us to get into your word, to know you more, to not just be an acquaintance with you or know you or pick you out of a lineup, but Lord, that we are so in love, so know you, and know that we know you how? Because we're keeping your word. We're doing what you say, even when it's hard, Lord, even when it's difficult, even when I don't want to do that, we follow you. We do it. Lord, help us this Valentine's Day to demonstrate our love to you. How? By simply just cracking this thing open, reading a chapter, being inspired, allowing your Holy Spirit to speak to our spirit, allowing your voice to encourage, to correct, to strengthen, to empower us, that we might live the way that you want us to live, Lord, that we'd walk the same way you would walk. Lord, help us to read this like never before, because in this is the words of life, eternal life, Lord. And we want you to know on this Valentine's Day that we love you. And how do we know that? Because we're reading, Lord. We're learning, Lord. We're changing, Lord. We're doing, Lord. And the more that that happens, the more I'm enjoying being who you called me to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much. We just want to return the favor and let you know. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, Lord, help us. Amen. We're going to do communion right now. And communion is a time where we reflect God's love, reflect on his love, what he did for us, what Christ did for us on the tree at Calvary as he bled to death, where that blood covered the stains of sin in our life. It's a time where we remember how good he is, how wonderful his love is, and that we recommit and reaffirm our love to him in remembering what you did. We remember how we want to live, sold out for you. We ask you to forgive us for some of the trips, some of the stumbles, some of the falls, Lord. But our goal and desire is to know you and to thank you that you made access by what you did on the cross. And today, Lord, as we come and take communion, we pray that you would feel the love from us and our commitment to read your word and to do what it says. Bless this time, Lord, as we reflect. In Jesus' name. As you come up, you can take communion on your own, at your own leisure. But I'd ask you this, to reflect. How well am I into that word? How well am I doing it? And if I've made some blunders and some mistakes, ask him to forgive you. Ask him to help you. Ask him to encourage you. Oh, he'll do that amazingly. And then make a commitment. I'm going to read it more, Lord. I'm going to do it more. Because I am deeply, deeply in love with you. And when you get all done, tell Jesus, Happy Valentine's Day. God bless.